Hello everyone, welcome to Overthinker Society. My name is Sue Lee. I am your host and the overthinker of the day. As always. As per usual. This is your first time listening to this podcast. Welcome. It's pretty self-explanatory. It's a pretty mess of a podcast where I sometimes have an existential crisis, or sometimes I just talk about poop a lot, or sometimes I just talk about food, talk about our dream toilets with some guests who are fellow overthinkers. My phone it's rang. I got a message. Of course, not a human being, just a bot. It's okay. It's okay. I got no human beings who will possibly text me at this time. Today, before I get right into it, I just want to touch upon a few things. Some very exciting news, yeah, for sure. Actually, one. I'm going back on tour. Me is going back on tour. I cannot believe it. I just came back from, my first tour with Chai, and in less than a month, I'm going back on tour. I'm not mad. I'm very grateful. Just a little, you know. Oh god, my body's just a little confused, you know? That's all. But I am going on tour with Mystery Skulls, supporting Mystery Skulls on not just East Coast and West Coast this time, but covering a lot of the Midwest, the middle of America, the mids of the American continent. So I'm going to Texas, also going to, Canada. Oh God. I'm going to Canada, where I didn't get to go because, the show was canceled in Toronto. That's it. Going to Toronto, which was a place that I was so bummed that was canceled on the last tour. So I'm really excited to go back. Go for the first time to Brooklyn. I mean, not Brooklyn. What the hell is wrong with me? Okay. Sorry. My head is all over the place. I'm really excited to go to Toronto, all the new cities, so many new cities, so many new towns. It's going to be a bit of an intense month. Not gonna lie, it's just shows back to back to back to back, and you know, that's a tour. That is the tour. That's the real tour experience that I frankly didn't get to experience last time. Last time, I would say, compared to this one, this upcoming tour was very, very chill. But nonetheless, I'm very excited. You know, I think last time I was more anxious than excited. This time, I think I'm more excited than anxious, so I think that's a good thing. Fingers crossed it'll go well. Fingers crossed it'll go well, but if it doesn't, that's fine too. That is fine too. But, you know, I want to put up a good show for you guys, so. Fingers crossed. Hell yeah. Going to America. Flying out to America in less than a week and a half. Less than 10 days. I'm going out. I can't believe this. I've never ridden. I've never been on this many planes in such a short amount of time in my entire life. So, you know. Living the digital nomad life. No, not digital. I'm meeting people. I'm going to cities and performing. So the living the true nomad life. The true fun nomad life. Very fun. Anxious? Yes, but fun. It's a little secret to you guys, overthinkers, listeners. But this time, this round of the tour, my little visual concept, if you will, is, I mean, visual concept is a very fancy word for outfit choice, because really I have no other kind of control over any other set designs and stuff, but my visual theme for this round of tour is pajamas. And if you've been around my community for a while, you will know that you will probably have heard at one point at least of me talking about how it's my dream kind of concept to hold shows that are in the theme of a pajama party. So I guess this is kind of like a way for me to test the waters a little bit, although it's not officially a pajama themed event or anything. I'm not the headliner. The headliner is Mystery Skulls, and I'm there to support him. But, you know, see how it feels to perform in cozy pajamas. So I ordered some really fancy, very extra pairs of pajamas, which is very nice. Gives me an excuse to shop for some very cute pajamas. I'm excited to wear them on stage as well. They're not blatantly pajamas either. They're like kind of borderline. Oh, is that a costume or is that a pajama? Kind of thing, so. Hope it doesn't, you know, come across as lazy or anything like that when I show up with, like, full-on, hey, you know, I'm ready to go to bed right after this. No, that's not the message. That's not what I'm trying to get across. It's, hey, I'm here to have fun in my pajamas, shake some booty in my pajamas, because that's what it's all about, man. So I'm excited to go on tour. Excited to just go back to the States where I have a few friends and just be able to talk with human beings for once. I feel like every time I do an episode of Overthinker Society, I feel a slight tinge of guilt because every episode is just so far apart from each other. And I know it's my podcast and I can do whatever I want, but also at the same time, I feel like I kind of owe an apology for you guys listeners that sorry for some odd upload schedules, but thank you for sticking around and listening to this confusing ass fuck podcast. The last few weeks since I got back from my first tour with Chai has been a bit of a shaky one, to be honest. I haven't been too well. I think it was just kind of a combination of multiple things. I think my immune system was just a little shocked, just kind of winding down a little bit as I got to the end of the tour. It was like, nope, I know you haven't really done much. You've only just been performing 40 minutes every night. That's it. You've been sleeping well at hotels, but still, shit. You're going down. And my immune system just decided to shut down altogether. And I just immediately got pretty sick as soon as I got back. I mean, I'd say there was like a few days for the system update, if you will. And I was well and fine, running about, motivated. You know, I was live streaming every day. until it would just gradually, my bodily health and mental condition just gradually deteriorated alongside my immune system. Also, not to mention the fact that there was another culprit that probably just caused the whole probably took a big part in this whole mess, where you'll see the remnants of it behind me if you're watching the video version right now. But that is that what I'm pointing right there behind me on the wall is Simba, the mold. To be more specific, the remnants of Simba, the mold, RIP. Simba had to go. When I got back to Korea, back in my room, I realized that there was a huge, huge difference in my room, which was that it had turned into a jungle of mold. It smelled of mold. I mean, to be honest, I actually have a pretty bad sense of smell, so I didn't realize my room reeked of... This is pretty disgusting, but my room reeked of mold until the smell was gone. Now, as you can see, there's also... I'm gonna flex a little bit about my new dehydrator. It's allegedly sucks in all the moisture in the air, so prevents from mold from growing. But I got new furniture. I had to pretty much replace every single piece of furniture in my room because there was mold growing everywhere. I replaced my wardrobe behind me. I replaced my bed. Oh my god. Oh, the shock that I got when we were moving my old bed, which was not old to begin with. It had only been less than a year since I got that bed. You know, remember I was like very excited because it was the first bed that I had in like 3 years. I was like, guys, I finally got a bed. Guess what? It was mold infested. I was horrified at the sight of how much mold had grown on my old. It was no wonder why I got sick. No wonder why I got rashes all over my body. No wonder why I was feeling so depressed. No wonder why I was... It was bad. I was sleeping on a bed of mold. Just mold everywhere. Just on the bottom of the bed, on the sides, on the... It was like a little like drawer in the bed as well, bed frame. And that was filled with mold, and oh god, it was a mess. I mean, in my defense, I would say, you know, my family who was here all along while I was on tour didn't get sick. So, you know, if it hadn't, I don't know who I'm defending against. It's probably my momagers. They're like, oh, you should, they're not like, they're, I mean, I should thank them. They're the ones who pointed out that I should really take the mold seriously. I was like, oh, got on a little call with them and they're like, huh, what is, I was like, guess what? Guys, I got a mold in my room. I got a new friend. It's Simba. Guess what? It's Simba. And they were like, oh, no. Oh, no. Dude, you gotta get rid of that shit. No. No. Why are you naming it? No. And they listed all this stuff, all the scary stuff that could happen. And I got kind of freaked out and proceeded to check all over my room, which turned out to be a jungle of mold. Had a lot of... Didn't realize that I had so many mold friends that I never knew I had. So many. So much. But yeah, thanks to that, or my immune system, or my depression, or whatever it is, I've been in a bit of a hibernation the last few weeks. and slowly, you know, slowly starting to recover. Slowly. But today I kind of wanted to talk about some I wanted to have a little bit of like a story time maybe today. And I gotta say I still am actually quite hesitant whether or not I should talk about this on the podcast. And if, you know, probably if I'm hesitating, it's probably a sign that I shouldn't. But then I thought about it and was like, you know what? It's not something that I'm ashamed of. It's not something I did wrong. It's not something that I feel like I need to particularly keep it hidden from the world. I think the only thing was like, yes, you don't need to hide it. It's not something to be ashamed of, but do you need to say it? Nobody asked, kind of thing. But then I was like, this is my podcast. This is my podcast. I want to talk about it. Stuff I'm about to say is probably it's very personal. It's very personal, and you know, without trying to like turn this into this like whole like serious thing where it's like, you know, dramatize it and everything. I am aware that, you know, I am aware of the terrifying truth that what I put out in the on the internet is permanent. Even live streams and stuff nowadays, it's there. It's there forever. But also, I don't know, the internet's a crazy place. I don't think I need to, like, take it as something like, oh, you know, I said this, and, you know, I hold myself accountable for this action. No, people say stuff all the time on the internet. I'm not about to, like, say something bad about somebody else that I don't know. It's a very personal matter. It's a very personal matter that probably is... Sorry, I keep, like... keep dragging this introduction out because I'm actually a little anxious to like get into the story, but I am also at the same time itching to tell it because I don't know. I feel like this is a story that is worth sharing. It's a theme. It's a topic that I wish that I could have heard a little more about. Either on podcasts or vlogs or whomever it may be, I wish I could hear something like this so that I know that I'm not alone in it. Hence why I'm not taking this into a therapy room, but rather saying it on a podcast to whom it may concern. Or to whom just might be open to listen. Just a little story time. And today's story is about my father. Dad. It is... I don't know where to begin. Well, story time begins yesterday, I guess, just to... I don't want to, you know... I could get behind all the whole long-ass history about, oh, how my father had an affair, he's a hypocrite, I could go on and on about that, but probably more immediately and just more... straight up story time, it would be more appropriate to just start with yesterday, where I met him for the first time in almost a year. almost like half a year, maybe just a little longer than that. And I meet my dad with my little sister for 2 hours twice a year. Maybe three times if he's feeling spicy, if he feels like, if I don't know what's going through his head, but if it feels like, feels more like taking up that responsibility as a dad, he'll bump it up to three times a year. Still 2 hours, though, because anything more than that, he's like, nope. That's all I can do as a dad for you guys. So we met up just for a little dinner, a lunch dinner-ish. It was like, we had our dinner at like 2. I mean, that would be lunch, more like a late lunch, but he said he had something to do afterwards. That's why it was at such an odd hours, such an odd time to meet up. He came, we met up, thought it was just gonna be a little dinner, a little lunch, a little meal. We talk about some updates in life, and he would talk about some updates in life, which is nothing because he never really reveals anything about his personal life. But he said, maybe, I think we were maybe 10 minutes into the dinner, into the meal. I keep saying it. For the sake of it, I'll just say dinner. I just keep saying dinner. We ordered at a Chinese restaurant a little dish of yangjiangpi, which is like a stir-fried noodles and seafood and stuff. Very good. And some nice orange chicken and such. 10 minutes into the dinner, into the meal, I had only gotten maybe 3 spoonfuls of the orange chicken when my dad, out of nowhere, says, "Hey, I'll give you XXX amount of money and get the fuck out of my life." I'm not quoting him as I say this. He didn't actually say, "Get the fuck out of my life," but that's essentially what he proposed. He said, "I think you are grown-ass adults. You are grown enough to go without the presence of me as a father." And to that, I had nothing to say, yet had so many things to say at the same time. First of all, he was never playing any part as a father to begin with. And if you define meeting up for 2 hours for some fancy meal twice a year, not because you're coming here to see your daughters, but you definitely have plans afterwards. Whether that may be meeting other women, trying to set up a date or whatever, I don't care. But there was always something that you had planned. There was always another reason for you to have come to Seoul when you came. We were just a little, side thing. I might do a little role as a quote-unquote dad. So I had a full-on, just threw a whole tantrum in the middle of the Chinese restaurant, and it wasn't like a private room or anything. And thank goodness it wasn't a private room, because you know what? I wanted the whole world to witness the whole this whole blasphemous, ridiculous situation that we were in. I just slammed down my spoon and my fork and my orange beef and yangjiang pea. I slammed it on the plate and just started going off like a freaking Eminem on stage. It was as if the dam broke. Is it the dam? The thing that water, that keeps the water away from the reservoirs and stuff. It's as if the wall broke. A wall within me broke, and I just said a lot of things that I have been holding in my mind. The things that I haven't been able to say to him right in the face because he wasn't there. The things that I wish I could have said to him when I was going through the lowest point in my life and he wasn't there. It just all came out right there in the middle of the Chinese restaurant, where it was a nice weather. It was an open restaurant because the weather was so nice. All the families were out. There was a very, very wholesome family with two kids, a mom and a dad, just having a good time, talking about what to have for tomorrow's meal. I wasn't paying attention to what they were talking about, but whatever. I think they were talking about cycling or whatever. Right behind us, the servers just moving about. The waitresses, they're moving around so busily because the restaurant was full. And I was screaming. I wasn't like, you know, wailing, but I was talking in a very, very loud voice. Very, very loud. Everyone could hear. Everyone could hear. And I could tell, like, it wasn't loud enough to a point where, like, it had to be stopped. I wasn't throwing a tantrum or anything. I wasn't like, you know, I wasn't like screaming and like punching the air on the floor, rolling around. I was very poised. I'm telling you, I was very poised, sat there saying what I needed to say, just pouring out of my mouth, but just a little louder, just a little tone louder, to a point where it wasn't enough for the waitresses or any of the people, employees, to stop me, to kick us out of there. I've never done anything like that, mind you. I don't like public drama. I don't live for that shit, but damn, when your father comes to you for the first time to have a meal in a year and says, "I'm going to mind my own business. Get out of my life, please. I would love to just move on and not really think about you anymore." That really throws things off. The family behind us, I could feel they're rushing as my little scene went on. They were getting a little uncomfortable. I'm sorry. My apologies for making you guys uncomfortable on a very nice Saturday lunch dinner. But they left. They left pretty early. They had finished their foods. I saw that they had finished all the foods that they ordered. So I'm glad that they didn't, you know, they wasn't uncomfortable enough to, like, you know, leave leftovers and stuff. But yeah, I had a full-on meltdown. Had a full-on panic attack, just not able to breathe. And my dad still is like, all this because of a little money issue. All this because I said I'll just give you a certain amount and leave you grow into your quote unquote adulthood. No. It's not about just the money. It's about how frustrating it is that you as a father don't realize the stupidity of not knowing that you have never, ever, ever, all these years, fulfilled a role as a father, and delusionally thinks that you did. And you know, I actually take pride in the fact that I said all the things that I just had been holding in for so long yesterday. I take pride in that because my dad's a psychiatrist. He's a psychiatrist. He's a doctor who deals with the mind, which is the most ironic thing ever. And I have always lost in our arguments because he would always, growing up, he would always make me feel defeated. He would always make me feel like there was something wrong with me. Like I was defending the wrong side of things. But yesterday, I made him stop talking. I made him stop because he knew well enough that every single word that I was saying was the truth. I told him that, and also, by the way, no offense, if you're listening and you're a Christian, I have all my respect for you guys. I really do. But my father specifically, just as an individual who just happens to be a Christian, I told him that it has always disgusted me a little bit. That a little bit is an understatement. I added that just to kind of dull the shock a little. Just dull the sharpness of it a little bit. But I have always just despised the fact that you seem to get so much satisfaction out of doing all the wrong things, having an affair, breaking a family, not giving child support, not giving proper child support, everything, many, many, many other things, and still think you are okay at the end of the day if you pray about it. I've always hated that. I told him that, and I told him when he told me that he's always wanted to try harder as a dad. He wanted to get to know us better. He wanted to have a relationship with us as a father and a daughter. I say, you never tried. I know nothing about you. Not a single damn thing. And I was wondering right off the bat when he said, I want to now distance myself from you. Your mom, you, anything related to that side of my past. I want it gone. I want to move on. And I ask him why. He's like, oh, I have to prepare for my future. I have to... You're a grown woman. You're grown women. Now, it's time for me to figure out my life. What does that mean? I ask him and he says, you know, you will know once things are more settled. I never knew. And I told him, I screamed right there in the middle of the restaurant. I freaking had to Google you to find out where you lived. I had to Google my own father to desperately get some help, to reach out, to somehow regain that fucked up relationship. Just in a desperate attempt to like get, maybe I need to try a little harder. No, there was no way I could have tried harder. There was no way my little sister and I could have tried harder to make it better, because frankly, it's hard to admit this. He was never there. He was never there for us. That's a little, you know, that's actually something that was revealed to me yesterday in the whole drama that I never knew before. My dad, my father, knew that he's a self-centered person, that he is. He admitted it right there and then. He was like, you know, and that's another thing, you know, when you get carried away, when you get emotionally elevated, in this case, not very positively, you say your mind. You don't filter things out. You don't think rationally. You say things that just come straight into your mind. And as I was, you know, he was kind of like, sorry if I'm talking like I'm talking to a therapist. You guys aren't not my therapists. I'm sorry. I am venting. But my God, it just... The realization was that he knows that he's self-centered. He's always been. The time my family moved to America, he claims that it was for us. But no, in truth, it was because he wanted to become a doctor in America. He claims it was just because family circumstances. It's all a little disagreement between you and my mom, you and your mom, you and your mother. It was never my fault as an individual. It was a mutual agreement that we had to break apart. It was a mutual agreement that I had to leave behind everything in America and had to come back. No, it was because you had an affair and decided you couldn't take it anymore. It was all about him, and he knows that very well. And I don't know if he's in denial or he knows, but just avoids it. But yesterday, I made him say it. I made him say it. He said, as I was making a scene, look, my life is my life. People get selfish over money. I do not want to support you in any way, emotionally or financially, physically, in any way. My people get selfish when it comes to tending for themselves. That right in there, I was like, bingo. You said it, my guy. You said it so yourself. To your own daughter's face, that you'd like to just be selfish. Be that selfish person that you always was. You said it. Bingo. There's no taking it back. You said it and you heard it yourself. And I told him, is it a stupid thing? Is it such a bad thing that me as a daughter to ask for a little bit of selflessness from you as a father? Just a little bit. Maybe at least once, think about your family. I don't care about what kind of fucked up relationship that you had with my mother. I don't care. I don't care. I love my mom to bits, and she's doing well. She's doing very well. But how can't you? I'm still your daughter. I'm your daughter. Is it so bad that I ask just for once that you think of us, think of your little me and my little sister for once before you? Is that too much to ask? Because we were never a priority, ever. Is it too much to ask that you be selfless just once for your daughters, at least once? He apparently says that's the way he's brought up. That's the way his family worked. That's the way his grandparents brought his parents. That's the way his great-grandparents brought his grandparents. I mean, you know, I'm actually very satisfied. I'm very satisfied. I'm very proud of myself for what I did yesterday, actually, for making him say that with his own mouth, all these things. I made him admit it, because all these years, I was thinking there was something wrong with me. There was something wrong with me. There was something mentally ill about me. I'm being too selfish by wanting these things from my dad. No. Yesterday, I realized, yeah, dude, you know you're kind of a bad dad. I made him say it, and he probably felt that too. And you know, it's a different matter whether, you know, the happening yesterday changed the way he thinks. He's a grown. There's an old saying in Korea that you don't fix people. You can't fix people. You can't fix their personality, because that's what they're born with. That's what they've grown into. And knowing the person that my father is, I doubt, I would be very surprised if the stuff that they happened, the things that I said to him yesterday, brought any major impact on him. He might have gotten a little frustrated on his drive back home after whatever he did to, after our dinner, our mid-afternoon dinner. I suspect it's a little date. They have this like wedding. They have this like weird like dating agencies that like set people up for dates, and they rate doctors very high, you know. I mean, if you know, you know, like doctors everywhere, they're like, "Oh, doctors. So noble." But I'm satisfied with what happened yesterday. I'm very satisfied because I didn't hold back. That was the first time that I ever in my entire life created anything close to a scene at a public space. And I'm not proud of it. I don't think it's anything to be proud of. Especially people who just like make a scene anywhere for any excuse. But man, I'm not gonna sugarcoat this. That felt good. It felt good. It felt good seeing my own father lower his voice as I made mine louder, because you could tell that he's shameful of this. I'm not shameful. Because, I mean, I'm not surprised if you're shameful, because I'm the one who's publicly shouting and blaming you and crying and sobbing about how frustrated I am, how upset I am that you had an affair, that you broke a family, that you never tried to be a dad, that you never tried, you never ever did. No wonder why you're lowering your voice. I mean, I don't blame you. I'm very satisfied. I mean, I had a very good cry. It was hard to breathe. It's very hard to breathe. But I don't regret a single thing that I said yesterday. I don't think I could have done it better. I really don't. If that was my father's way of saying goodbye, this is it. I'm moving on. Goodbye, my past daughters. I'm probably going to move on, have my own new family, and never want to see you again. Bury you guys in the past. If that was the last encounter, I'm not mad about that. I said what I had to say. And I darn hope that, you know, it's not the last time that I see him. As fucked up as this may sound, I still love him as a father. I still love this man. I don't know why. He's such an asshole. But I feel sympathy for this man. Damn, I'm starting to sound like that woman who's like, "Dear Vladimir Putin, I so wish you were my mother. I was your mother."
Wow.
family life is really difficult. It's difficult. I don't know if it's difficult for everybody, but I mean, if you're a child in a family with parents, or if you are a parent yourself who has managed to keep a marriage, keep a family, for so long, for this long, for however many years, then kudos to you, because, you know, you may be, there may be a lot of people out there who are as selfish as my dad is, or maybe even worse. And there are definitely worse people out there. There are definitely better people out there too, but worse too. And despite all that, if you're someone who is trying to keep it together, then kudos to you, because damn, this thing is hard. It's hard to forgive. It's hard to forgive your family for what they did. It's hard to forgive because we're all, yes, at the end of the day, pretty selfish people. As a dad, as a mom, as a child, we're all selfish. And, you know, if you've had a parent who hasn't had an affair and broke your family in a very bad way, had a very rough divorce, then it's hard not to blame them. It's hard not to blame them for the trauma that it has caused you, the lasting effects, the lasting mental effects that it has to this state, years and years and years after it's actually happened. It's hard to forgive. And so, if you're the kind of person who has prevented that from happening, then man, props to you. And if you're in a family that hasn't experienced that, then I am very envious of you. But also, I'm not sympathizing myself. No. And it's not necessarily coming from a place where it's like, oh, some people have it worse. But it's more like, you know, there are some fucked up things happening. And there are definitely people out there who don't have to go through those things. But also, I have things that I can call my own. I have people, I may have people who don't really love me, but I also have people who love me unconditionally, and I feel very blessed. Sorry, I just had to get a call from my little sister. We're getting a dryer today. Yay! We don't have to lay out our laundries anymore. That's such a liberating thing. That was a little bit of an emotional roller coaster just there, just a little emotional storytelling. But I can assure you, I'm fine now. And if you're still listening, I thank you for listening. Thank you. And if you're someone who is holding stuff back, and it doesn't necessarily have to be this in the same circumstances, but if you're just someone who is holding stuff back and you know it's the right thing, you just have this instinctual feeling that what you're holding in is the right thing, just say it. Because damn, that feels good. It's going to be upsetting. You're going to probably cry a lot. You're going to have trouble breathing, probably. because if you're holding in, there probably is a serious enough reason for you to be holding it in. Please, yes, of course, keep it safe, you know. But don't hold it in, because it feels so damn good when you say something and you know it's right. And that person can't argue you. Just say it. It feels good. So that's my story. I'm going to go grab the dryer from downstairs. See you next episode with my new dryer. Okay, thank you guys for listening today. Goodbye.